Verse 1. God, hey, that's enough shout about right there. Woo! Well, glory. God. Boy, I like that. Well, my funeral, I hope somebody just says, God. Hey, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah! And when he had by himself, somebody needs to have a running fit right here. When he had by himself, did y'all see that? By himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You can be seated. If the Lord would help me for a little while this morning, I want to preach on the thought, the glory of our Lord. It is more glorious than the prophets. I'd like to come back and preach later on about him being more glorious than the angels. But right now I want to deal with these first three verses. He's more glorious than the prophets. Notice with me in our text, first thing let me say, if you were just to take out three words from verse number one, you could underline the word God, and then go down, just go on down verse two, half, and then go on down to the word spoken. And just say, God hath spoken. That's enough to shout about. I'm glad he speaks to the sinner, because if God had not spoke to us, we'd have heard nobody else speak. It took a divine voice and divine power to talk to us who are dead in our trespasses and in our sin. Notice it starts out with that word God. Just takes for granted that God exists and that he's going to reveal himself. He said, God, who at sundry times had jumped off the page to me. At sundry times. Walk back with me in your mind. Think about Genesis 3:15, the first prophetic picture of Christ. He said to the serpent, you're going to bruise his heel, but the seed of the woman is going to bruise your head. Woman don't have a seed. That's going to have to be a virgin birth. God's already stayed. Woo! I mean, when Eve had the first man, boy, first child, she said, glory to God, this may be him. I'm telling you, she didn't understand everything. All she was trying to figure out, but we know, friend, it was not through a man and through a woman, but thank God the seed of a woman was going to bruise the serpent's head. He's more glorious than the prophets. He spoke to us, God, who at sundry times, he's the seed of the woman. And Genesis 3:15, to the prophets, he's speaking to Abraham. He said he's going to come through your line. In Genesis 12, he spoke to him over in Genesis 49 and said he's going to be of the tribe of Judah. Oh yes, and Psalm 132 verse 11, we find out he's not just going to be the seed of the woman of the line of Abraham, hey, of the tribe of Judah, but he's going to be, thank God, the son of David. Woo! I mean, God's narrowing this thing down at sundry times. We're talking about God who's going to reveal himself. Now he's revealing the picture. He's painting a picture through all these prophets and fragments of truth that he's gave them down through the ages. Seed of a woman, line of Abraham, tribe of Judah, son of David. Woo! I'm about to have a Sunday morning fit. Hey, thank God. The Isaiah 7:14 narrows it way down. He says, thank God, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive. Oh, yes. It's going to be not just a family of David, but going to be a virgin. But hey, can I say today, God's brought man into the world in a few different ways. First off, he took dust and made Adam. Then he took Adam's rib and made Eve. Thank God he saw. It wasn't good for man to be alone. I like to say, amen, Lord. Hallelujah. It was... Amen, Lord. It was not good for man to be alone. So he brought mankind into the world by forming the dust. By the way, have you ever seen anybody form the dust? Woo! Hey, when dust meets deity, it becomes formable. Are y'all with me? Not clay. I know he say that, but our soul, our life, it's like clay in the potter's hand. But mankind, he formed of the dust. You can sell dirt. But everybody wants to get rid of dust. And God, wow! That's going to hit y'all. Hey, God took something that nobody wants. Oh, everybody's trying to get rid of. Hey, everybody's trying to get rid of, brother. But thank God, God took it and formed man. And then said it's not good for him to be alone. And let him go to sleep, perform surgery without a scalpel or anesthesia. And out of his side came a bride. What a picture. Woo! Out of his side came the bride. Oh, yeah. Am I right? But then he said, y'all multiply. So by natural process, God brought people in the world. But a new thing happened. Not dust, not a rib, and not for natural process. But God said, Holy Ghost, overshadow that womb. Whoa! I mean, microscopic seed, and yet God the Son. Holding everything together. Right. Hey, y'all thought about that? Holding everything together. Right. Earth tilted at its right axis. Yes, still traveling over 1,000 miles an hour. Keep it from spinning off into space. Yeah. Holding the stars in their socket till it's done with them. Right. Are y'all getting this? Amen. Everything. Microscopic seed. I'm glad God brought a virgin born. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, there ain't no salvation. He spoke at sundry times, different times, back at the garden. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Isaiah. Oh, yes. Then in Micah 5:2, he narrows her down, friend. He said, I'll tell you what city he's going to be born in. Ain't going to be Landrum, South Carolina. I'll tell you where he's going to be born. Bethlehem, Judea. When this prophecy was given, it was occupied by Philistines. Hey, woo! Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall it come forth unto me, who's to be ruler over Israel, who's going forth, have been of old and everlasting. How Micah 5:2 said, at sundry times, back in the garden, all through time, hey, hallelujah. And now over here in the minor prophets, he said, hey, let's get this thing there down. I told you going to be virgin born. I told you going to be of David's family. I told you going to be tribe of Judah. I told you going to be line of Abraham. I told you going to be a seed of a woman. But praise God, I'm going to tell you in what city. And God used the RS. All right, y'all don't like that. God used the Roman IRS to bring taxes to bring them to the right city. I don't like the IRS neither. Everybody say amen. But the fact is, God used taxation upon the people, have them to register to get Mary and Joseph over to have baby. Are y'all with me? At sundry times. Daniel saw him in Daniel 9:26. He didn't really understand all about it. Zechariah said in chapter 11, verse 12, he speaks of the Lord's betrayal. He said he's going to be sold for 30 pieces of silver. What about that? That wasn't but 300 years before he's born. That's pretty good, ain't it? Said he's going, wow, I love the Bible, don't y'all? Then get over here in Zechariah 13:6. Somebody's going to say, what are these wounds in thy hands? Not only does Zechariah remember God, who at sundry times, he's speaking now to Zechariah, showing his betrayal for 30 pieces of silver, showing that his crucifixion, what are these wounds which are in thy hands? That's what he said in Zechariah 13:6. Oh, but he showed his second coming too. He said he's going to put one foot on the Mount of Olives. Woo! I'm telling y'all, at sundry times, God spoke about him and painted fragments of pictures, gave us pieces of the puzzle to tell us about the coming Messiah. Oh, he painted a great picture. It's kind of like that scripture, here a little and there a little. But the scripture, hey, the picture, the portrait's not fully painted until the person comes on the scene. But praise God, they've been painting the same picture since Genesis. Can anybody say amen? Hallelujah. Sundry times and in diverse manners. Abraham got the promises from God himself. Think about that. Jacob had some dreams. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, in different ways, he delivered the same message that Messiah's coming and he's going to give himself for your sin. He's been painting a picture. Sundry times, diverse manners. He gave him a promise. But then he gave Jacob dreams. He spoke to Moses face to face on top of Mount Sinai and gave him the written law that he wrote with his finger. By the way, he wrote two times in the Bible. One time he wrote law, another time he wrote grace. John chapter 8. Whoa! Hey, hallelujah. Face to face with Moses. Aaron got to experience and see God at the mercy seat when the cloud covered between the cherubims. Hey, God looked down from heaven. He didn't see the commandments. He didn't even see the mercy seat. He saw the blood that was on the mercy seat and hovered down yonder. And Aaron got to see that. David, God spoke in diverse manners. In promises, in dreams, and a Shekinah glory over the mercy seat. Are y'all with me? Diverse manners. Spoke to David through the written word by song and sermon. He spoke to David. He wrote more about the crucifixion and the second coming and the first coming. Amen. Through the songs. We just look at that old church hymnal. There's one in there called You Can't Do Wrong and Get Away With It. I said, great God, that'll preach. Hey, I'm talking about through sermon and song and salutation and celebration. God spoke to David and through David to Elijah. He spoke the fire, and we don't know if he spoke word for word, but we do know that he spoke to him in a still small voice. How the prophets, all of them, he spoke by the Spirit. Notice God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. God spoke to them and God spoke through them at sundry times and in diverse manner. Hey, thank God. Look at verse number 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us. The prophets would start out like this. Thus saith the Lord. But when Jesus come on the scene, he said, I say unto thee, whoa, I say hallelujah, I say amen. Hey, whoa, he is Lord. I say unto thee, God sundry times spoke to us through the prophets. He's spoken unto us by the Son. Look over in John 1:45. Look in there, John 1:45. Y'all got to see this. It's heavy right here. Hey, help me. John 1:45. We've read this verse 4. Y'all read it. But all of Old Testament prophetic pictures, portraits, and truth have centered in and converged upon Jesus. John 1:45. I like this. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him. Oh, of whom Moses in the law and then the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And you know what Nathanael said? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I bet that's what they said about y'all. Can any good thing come out of Green Creek? That's what they said about me. Can any good thing come out of Campobello? Can any good thing come out of Fingerville? Can any good, hey, I'm telling you, great God, from the places and the pages of obscurity, here come the Lord of glory. I say amen. All the Old Testament prophets and truth converged on Jesus. But then all New Testament truth is based upon his person. This portrait has come to fruition. This portrait, whoa, it's like shadows pointing you to the source. Have y'all ever noticed that the shadow of a dog can't bite you? You ever notice that? That dog can get you. Shadow can't. But I tell you what the shadow do. It'll help you be real still and follow that shadow to the source so you'll know which way to run. Now the dog you're running from. But with Old Testament truth, remember what the Bible says. The law was our schoolmaster. It was the shadow that pointed us to the source. The law is our schoolmaster. The servant that has been commissioned to bring the child to truth.
Right.
Schoolmaster, to bring you unto Christ,
right.
That we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under schoolmaster.
Right.
No, sir, we don't need the schoolmaster.
Right.
We got the dean. Hey, amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Look with me over here. Now, all Old Testament truth is converging upon Christ. And all New Testament truth is springing from the embodiment of God. That's Christ in person, incarnate. Look what it said in John 14. Boy, this is good. John 14, y'all look with me. John 14, y'all better look because I might be quoting out of an almanac. Y'all follow me. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, shew us the Father? His person is where the Old Testament springs from. Old Testament truth, thank God, springs from his incarnation. Oh, I'm glad, thank God, that all the Old Testament at sundry times and in diverse manners, he spake unto us through the prophets, and the prophets all pointed, hey, as it was testified about in John 1, all pointed to Christ. And when Christ came in the fullness of the glory, fullness of grace and truth, when he came into this world and he was born into this world and he lived 33 and a half years, and at the 30th year, he was baptized in Jordan, and a dove lit upon his shoulder, a dove that Noah let go of from the ark, found a suitable place to put his foot, and landed on Jesus. And when he started his public ministry, he said, say unto thee, hallelujah, he is the incarnate God. He's the Emmanuel, God with us. That's amazing to me. I'm talking about holy God came down, dwelt among unholy men, so unholy man could become like and dwell with eternal holy God. What a savior. Jesus, this person of Jesus. Somebody has one time said, I wrote it down in my Bible. It might have been me. I don't know who said it. Somebody said it. History is really his story. They ain't even no history without him. Am I right? Hallelujah. Listen, in Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse and chapter 1 and in verse 1, we see that God has spoken unto us about the prophets. The shadow has brought us to the source. All prophets, all pictures have now come together and formed the beautiful portrait of what we see embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all Testament truth, all of the new covenant will spring from this. Are y'all with me today? Hallelujah. Jesus, who is this Jesus? Well, he's the end of all history. Look what the Bible says. Hallelujah. He's heir of all things. Chapter 1, verse 2. That's the end of all history. By whom, hallelujah, also he made the worlds. That's the beginning of all history. I've told you before, history is just his story. The end of all things. He's getting inheriting it all. Hallelujah. He's the beginning of all things. I say hallelujah. So he's the heir of all things. He's the maker of all things. But listen to this right here. He's the brightness above all things. The Bible said in that same verse, he is before all things. I like that. I like that. The brightness of the glory and the express image of his persons. He's before it and he's the brightness of it. He's more beautiful than all things. Brother Jeremy, can I put it like this? He's the heir of all things. He's the maker of all things. He's the sustainer of all things. But he's the most beautiful of all things. He is the brightness and the express image. You know what the express image is? Have y'all ever seen one of them stamps, them notary publics? Y'all ever seen one of them? Have you ever seen one that they might use a golden seal on and they'll really crimp it so the image that's on the presser shows up on the paper? Right there, I pictured Chris running right there. I pictured it in my mind. Are y'all with me? Woo! What I'm saying is, thank God, hallelujah, he is the beautiful. He is the creation. He is the creator. Amen. He was not made by anything, but he is the epic of everything. In other words, everything proceeds from him. Nothing was made without him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the beginning of everything. He's the end of everything. He's the prettiest of everything. He is the bright morning star. And throughout all glory, hallelujah, he will be upholding all things by the word of his power. Look what verse 3 says. You could put it like this. John chapter number 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. That's his eternity. And the Word was with God. That's his personality. Amen. And the Word was God. That's his deity. Hey, he was in the beginning. Amen. He is a personality. He is a person, a living being. Are y'all with me today? God incarnated in flesh. Have y'all thought about it like this? People tell me all the time, say, preacher, God's a spirit. And I don't know if he'll have a body. Well, hold on a minute. Bible said when he came down here and he dwelt among us and he died and he was crucified and he's buried on the third day, Bible said he bodily raised. He went in there and there wasn't no bones and there wasn't nobody. And the Bible said he went into that crowd on the church day on the first Sunday and he said, behold my hands and my feet. Instead of stick your hand in my side.
Yes, sir.
He said, flesh and bone. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
And down here, blood is your life.
Yeah.
Right down here it is.
That's right.
He didn't say nothing about flesh and bone.
Amen.
I'm talking about he got a glorified flesh.
Exactly right.
He's got a glorified body.
Amen.
Right now we're in vile bodies.
Yes.
And it does not yet appear we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Boy, I'm going to be glad of that. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to be glad of that. No more bad thoughts. No more bad actions. No more bad attitudes. No more. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Woo! His vile body. I'm going to lay aside this earthly tabernacle, this house of clay, and I'm going to put on, hey, I don't know what a soul looks like. All I know is God puts white robes on them. I think your soul looks like you. Amen. Your soul uses this body, but your soul is who you are. And one day when you die, your soul's going up yonder. That's why when he saw Chris's mama, he knew who she was, and she knew who he was. Amen. And one day they're going to get a glorified body simultaneously, and the robe is still going to fit, and they're going to have a place at the table, and he's going to gird himself. Great God in here. I'll say amen. Amen. Woo. Hallelujah. Hey. You know what I believe? I ain't got no Bible for it, but you ain't got none against it. Jesus died 33 and a half years. I believe everybody's going to be 33 and a half years old. Booty,
yes.
Did you have hair when you was 33? Yeah. You're going to have hair again, son. Yeah. Woo! Hey! Yeah. Hey! Ha-ha! Whoa!
Right.
Y'all think I'm crazy? Sure enough, man. Hey, you know what the Bible says? At sundry times and in diverse manners, spake in time past, but now has spoken unto us by, through, and with his Son. He just didn't tell us he loved us, but he showed us he loved us when he went to Calvary. Are y'all with me? Hallelujah. Think about this. His deity. Now, in the latter part of verse number 3, woo, look what he said. When he had by himself.
Yeah. Right.
Moses didn't help him.
No.
Gabriel didn't help him. Did y'all see that?
Right.
Preacher didn't help him.
Amen.
Ain't no deacon helped him. No Sunday school teacher helped him. No, And the baddest, I hate to tell you all this,
right,
not even Benny Hinn helped him.
Right.
He thinks he can help God. Not even him.
Right.
Are y'all with me? But when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down, purged, purely paid for, wiped from all existence, removed from their very record, I mean wiped out the accountant, the chargeable side of your ledger. It won't hold the charge side of your ledger, won't even hold a mark no more. You can't even write on it. Hey, well, thank God the deposit side says paid in full, debt cleared. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm about to have a fit. Hey, I'm glad today when he by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand. He sat down. That means the work is finished. That means it's completed. That means it's done. That's evidence, friend. Now y'all stay with me. In Hebrews, there's four times that he says, sat down on the right hand. Y'all turn over here with me. Chapter 1, verse 3. We know that one. When he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty. Don't hide. My grandpa said, you don't sit down till the work's over, boy. I believe my grandpa knew what Jesus did. Hey, when he said it is finished at Calvary and they laid him in a tomb, but it work wasn't over yet, brother. He had to go, thank God, raised from the dead. You see, our payment was made. Redemption price was paid, but there had to be justification. Our record, woo, had to be expunged better than pardon. Hey, thank God, had to take place. And that had to happen on resurrection morning. And when he ascended after 40 days, hallelujah, he ascended back on high. He'd already went back and put the blood on the eternal mercy seat. He'd done come back and dwelt among the people and showed himself alive for 40 days. And then when he ascended back on the white puffy cloud, the Bible said, heaven purrs our sin. The work is complete. It is finished. It is over with. Your salvation is complete. He's the author and the finisher of your salvation. He didn't start it, leaving you the rest to finish. I said he'd done it all. And he sat down and now says, come children. I say, believe on my work. I say, amen. Now think about it like this. Four places, chapter 1, verse 3. Victorious Lord died, buried, and rose again. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now these things we have spoken. This is the sum. It's the end of the equation. We have such a high priest who has sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. He's a victorious Lord. He's the heavenly priest. He's after the order of Melchizedek. What you say, preacher, what's the point of that? All of Aaron's seed eventually defiled the right to be the high priest. And he had to take that and switch it. And the Bible says, Judah, from the tribe of Judah, came Melchizedek. Judah is the royal tribe. So what Christ did is he's both priest and prince. He's both a propitiation. Great God. He's the sacrifice. He is the blood. He is the priest that offers the sacrifice. And he's the king to rule your life. He's everything. Hey, in chapter 8, verse number 1, he sat on the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. He's priesthood and prince. Hey, man, chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice. I'd like to take the time, but I ain't gonna do it. You ought to read chapter 10.
Oh, yeah.
Up to this point, it's talking about bulls and goats. It's talking about bullocks. He's talking about sacrifices that were done as pictures and fragments and portraits of who was going to come. He said, but the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. So while the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do, and what a one-year redemption couldn't do, because it just rolled up your sins and packed on your sin, but Christ entered in once into the holy place with his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hallelujah. The Bible said, and in that verse, chapter 10, verse 12, this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He is the completed sacrifice. He's the accepted sacrifice. He is the perfect payment. He is eternal redemption. I'm glad, hallelujah. But there's one more.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 12, verse 2.
Yeah.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of God. He's our perfect example. He's the point for which we fix. Everybody in here that was in the military, just lift your hand. Everybody's in the military. Was you in the, anybody in here in the military? This is one thing I want to let you know. When you're out there doing land navigation, you've got a point that you want to find the coordinates to. And what you do, brother, to make sure you don't get off course, you fixate on that point. Looking unto the people that's falling out, no. Looking unto them that's faithful, that may fail you one day, no. Looking unto Jesus, he'll never forsake you. He'll never fail you. He'll never be out of sight. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's ever before me. And he keeps you on track by letting two follow you. Surely goodness and mercy. Hey, Brother Jeremy, hey, he's a perfect example. He's the point for which we drive toward. We lean unto the traces. Notice what the scripture says. In our text, in our chapter today, let me just say this, in Hebrews, it only one time mentions the cross. Hebrews 12, verse number 2. And only one time mentions the resurrection. Hebrews 13. And so you got a book that only one time mentions the cross and only one time mentions the resurrection. That's all it took. I say amen. Woo! But the book of Hebrews is about his heavenly eternal place as mediator and intercessor. Can I say today, he has sat down. The Bible says, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. God just doubled it. Put four of them in there. And just in Hebrews. And you say, preacher, what does that help me? It ought to help you to know that Revelation saith, he loved us. One other place said, gave himself for us. But he loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood and made us kings and priests. But he's coming back to get us. He's coming back to get us, amen. He said, preacher, in the meantime, how does him sitting down help me? Here it is. 40-minute, 35-minute introduction. A 1-minute message. Here's how it helps. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen has done nothing but be filled with the Holy Ghost, preach the gospel, and live for God. So close that his face shone like the face of an angel. And yet, he's drugged in front of the court like a criminal. He begins to preach to them all the way back to Moses and the prophets. Talks about how God spoke to us through at sundry times. Gives a preview of what's going to be over in Hebrews. And this is what he says. They got mad. They took him outside the city. And the people hate you just for loving God. They look for things to hate you for, but the bottom line is they just don't like it because you love the Lord. And they took him outside the city and they began to stone him. And I don't believe that they got the littlest stone they could find. The place where they stoned him at was in a ravine. And the people who stoned him got up on the top. Now, they might have been a little kid, throw something at him. I believe is they get the biggest one they could and drop it right on his head. And while he's down there, they're stoning him. But the Holy Ghost is letting them rock him to sleep.
That's right. Amen.
Rock.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Rocking him to sleep. He starts praying for him. Whew. Now, friend, it'd be hard to pray for somebody that's stoning you to death. While, now, I'm not talking about after when you've healed up, but while your eyes knocked out, while your head's caved in, he's praying for him. But you know when he prayed for him? Brother Jeremy. He prayed for him. The Bible said he saw the glory of God in Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of God standing on the right hand of God. And they kept stoning him. And then he said, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Didn't say they killed him.
No.
You know what helped him in the worst time of his life? He got a fresh glimpse. What does it matter? Because he's seated.
That's right.
But there's some things Jesus won't take sitting down. I'm telling you, hey, some things Jesus, he won't take one of his youngins' brains getting bust out sitting down. He stood up to welcome that soldier to the house. He stood up to ease the pain. He stood up, opened up heaven to comfort him in his hard time. He stood up to let him know. He stood up for him one time on the cross of Calvary. He laid down his life. But on the grave the third day, he stood up again. And he's standing now to receive him home. I'm telling you, friend, that'll help you. Everybody's out to harm you. And everybody's out to destroy you. And he said, Lord, Jesus, I see the Lord standing on the right hand. Your testimony during troubled waters is going to convict some condemning sinner. Saul standing there holding clothes. Wrote Hebrews chapter 1. And if Stephen had not looked up and saw, and looked up and said, and had not had showed forgiveness, compassion and mercy, and then fell on asleep. They rocked him to sleep. They didn't stone him. That's what they thought they was doing. The Lord just said, brought him home. He said, preacher, he couldn't do that. Oh, yes. Moses' natural force was not abated. Amen. He's as strong today he died. And they had three people showed up at the funeral. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Nobody else knew where he was buried. One of them conducted the service. The other one dug the hole. The other one said some words. Woo! I'm going to do the order of service. You do the preaching. And thank God somebody going to do it. Are y'all with me? I don't know if he had angels do it. The point I'm making is he let Moses fall on asleep. Hallelujah. In the prime of his life. He wasn't going to let them devils, rock him and stone him to death until he was going to take it from him. He allowed him to die. He allowed him to be passed off into glory. Hey, we're not lost. We're not lost, loved ones over yonder. We know where they're at. They just went to heaven. Church, some of you feel like everybody's throwing stones at you. He could have said, Jesus said, you without sin cast the first stone. That ain't what he said. He wasn't even worried about rebuking them. He called them a stiff neck, uncircumcised arm. They already knew what they was. He done preached the message. But right now, it was him and Jesus. Now, y'all don't have to believe this, but here's what I believe. He saw him. And I've said this before. Y'all stay with me a few minutes. Jacob, come on. God spoke from heaven. They heard it. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Paul spoke from heaven a little bit later from this day when Stephen's getting stoned. And he heard him.
Yeah, that's right,
bro. God spoke from heaven when Jesus was baptized.
Right.
God spoke from heaven on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Right.
It's within earshot.
Yeah.
It's within ladder shot. Ladder set up on the earth, reach the top of heaven. It's within ladder shot.
Right.
It's within eye shot. Stephen's looking at it.
Right.
God peered back the galaxies, peered back the dark sky, peered back the blue ozone, peered back all the clouds, peered back through time. And I just believe this, Brother Chris. Yeah. Jesus just leaned in his direction.
Oh,
yeah. Stood up.
Yes, sir.
See, sometimes you can't see real good when you're sitting down. Somebody, like if you're in a crowd, all right, and there's a multitude that you're trying to see, you can't see Well, you're really wanting to see them. I mean, you've come to see Brother Jeremy, but brother, you can't see him. But if Brother Jeremy stands up, all eyes is on Brother Jeremy. I'm telling you what, he is the center attraction of all heaven. Hey, man, he peered back all those clouds. He could have been a lot of things, but he didn't care about seeing nothing but Jesus.